Hello and welcome to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. This week, the relationship between a woman's reproductive history from first period to contraception to whether she's had any babies to age at menopause and her chances of dying prematurely from any cause. What's normal and what, if anything, is there to worry about in a child's fantasy world? And what if the child is worried about it? A sneak preview of this week's Australian story, which covers a very personal story of kidney failure in an Aboriginal community. And an attempt to cap a week of confusion in Australia after the World Health Organization came out and said there was now strong evidence that processed meats are cancer-causing, carcinogenic. People were likely smoking, were unsure of what dose of processed meat we're talking about, and given there are all sorts of chemicals involved, what could be the mechanism? Well, now a chance to clarify with one of the people who was involved in the WHO report, Professor Bernard Stewart of the University of New South Wales, who's an international authority on carcinogenesis, and he's on the line from Sydney. Welcome, Bernard.
Hello, Norman. Pleased to be talking to you.
What did WHO actually say?
What they actually said is that consumption of processed meat is carcinogenic to humans and causes bowel cancer, and consumption of red meat is probably carcinogenic to humans, likewise probably causing bowel cancer. They mentioned other cancers as well, but in the brief time we were available, let's stick to that.
I thought stomach cancer was a risk of processed meat from times gone by.
That's correct. There were three other cancers mentioned in relation to processed meat. The evidence was next strongest, though not as definitive, for stomach cancer. And in relation to red meat, the evidence was next strongest, but not as definitive, for bowel cancer in respect of both pancreatic cancer and prostate cancer.
Interesting. So the IARC, the International Agency of Research into Cancer, that part of WHO, tends to grade carcinogens according to the strength of evidence. So what was the strength of evidence for processed meat relative to, say, other known carcinogens such as tobacco and alcohol?
The strength of evidence was as strong. That is, processed meat, the evidence in relation to cancer and processed meat, passed that point where it's possible to assert definitively that causation occurs. So the agency used these words, causes cancer in humans. In respect of red meat, the evidence was lower, so-called group 2A, and the phrase probably carcinogenic to humans was deemed the appropriate technical terminology.
So that's where the confusion with smoking comes in, because it's the strength of the evidence rather than the dose, I assume.
You're absolutely right, and it's not correct, strictly speaking, to say the evidence is as strong as it is for tobacco. But in respect of the other 111 agents that are identified as causing cancer in humans, the evidence in respect of processed meat is up there with that. But of course, as you imply, it's one thing to talk about strength of evidence, it's a completely different thing to talk about the burden of cancer.
So we're talking about salamis, bacon, sausages, things like that.
We are. We're talking typically about red meat being altered to extended shelf life by either smoking, curing, drying, or any other like process.
Which is what confused me, because there's so many different ways of curing meat, from salting through to smoking. You've just enumerated them. What could be the mechanism? Because there's all sorts of chemicals there.
There are all sorts of chemicals, and it's a broad definition because the evidence taken as a whole did not warrant a single specific type of processed meat or single group of types being separated out as saying, well, the risk is really centred on these particular subset or that particular subset. Now, in relation to chemicals, particularly across the whole spectrum of red meat and processed meat, you're correct. There are four groups of chemicals implicated, and I have to use the technical chemical terminology for which I apologise.
Go for it.
Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, there are heterocyclic aromatic amines, there are N-nitroso compounds, and there is also heme iron, that is iron complexed in a heme molecule. All of those things are worthy of consideration, and some of them relate to how the meat is cooked, others relate to how the meat is preserved.
What about salting?
Salting as such, again, is not the central cause for concern. That is, if sodium chloride is used, the use of sodium nitrite has been markedly reduced over the years because of concerns about N-nitroso compounds. Again, I apologise for the technicality. But N-nitroso compounds can, in fact, be formed endogenously in the bowel during the digestion of processed meat, and so they are involved.
What's the, again, I'll use a technical term now, it's called population attributable risk. In other words, of all the colon cancer in the world or in Australia, what proportion could be put down to, you know, salami and bacon and sausages?
There is not a vast body of evidence on this for countries as a whole. In other words, we can't say, I can't give you an answer for the United States, I can't give you an answer for the UK. I can, in fact, give you an answer for Australia, because independently, David Whiteman and his colleagues at Berghofer Queensland Institute of Medical Research published this month a paper supported by Cancer Council Australia on that very topic. And they estimate that something between a sixth and a tenth of all colorectal cancer in Australia is attributable to the consumption of red meat and processed meat. They didn't separate out the two in making the estimate.
We're almost out of time, Bernard. What's the dose then? How much should we...
The dose that's dangerous is something in excess of 200 grams a day. If you're eating, as I do, bacon and occasionally steak and enjoying them very much, but eating those two or three times a week, there's no problem. The problem lies, Norman, in people who are eating red meat and processed meat every day. Those are the people who might seriously consider scaling back and occasionally eating poultry, fish or even vegetarian meals.
Bernard, I'm no longer confused. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Norman.
Professor Bernard Stewart at the University of New South Wales, and you're listening to The Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan.